Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday at 9:15 and again at 11 a.m. Today's gospel reading comes from the book of John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. In today's sermon titled, Until Now, Reverend David Williams tells us that a sign is where the purpose of our life is expressed in a moment. We are called to be aware of the transforming moments so we can be guided to God's glory.
Please be seated. As we gather together in the presence of God this morning, we do so knowing that God is the one that transforms and grows and changes us for the better. And we know that every moment is a moment filled with that possibility. But we also know that we get distracted and we miss those moments. We fail to see. We fail to act. We fail to change. And so as we come before God this morning, we need to acknowledge that. And we're going to do that acknowledgement by praying together the prayer of confession, which is printed in our bulletins. Please join with me. Gracious and almighty God, when do we begin a new thing? We know we're called to act and live in ways that are different and new. We know we're called to be continually transformed. But where does it start? How does it start? We often just don't know. Forgive us when we're so afraid we'll miss that right moment that we don't act. Forgive us when we go chasing off in the wrong direction, ignoring the signs that should have guided our path. In Christ, please forgive us. Amen. And now hear the assurance of Christ's pardon. Hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save us. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and alive to what is good. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Our third scripture reading for today is drawn from John's Gospel. I'll be reading John chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. John 2, verses 1 through 12. Let's listen now for God's holy word. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were 6 stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine, after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother, his brothers and his disciples, and they remained there a few days. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My hope on reflecting on this sermon is that It's at least as good as it was first service, when I had a chance to pre-record it with pictures and all sorts of other fun stuff because I wasn't able to get here. The pesky thing about Jewish funerals is that they tend to be on Sunday mornings. Having celebrated the life of my wife's grandfather, who passed 3 months almost to the day after his beloved wife of more than 70 years, it's just one of those things I had to be at. So if you can't remember any of the sermon afterwards, it'll be up on YouTube later. Challenge for us as people, I think, is knowing when a new thing has really begun. How can you tell when a new phase of life has started? And yeah, there are moments in life where we formally recognize change. There are places we go and things we do and things in our life are supposed to be different. Birthdays are a good example of that. Like yesterday when I turned 44, one of those birthdays that is really not a milestone. This is not a milestone birthday. 10 was a milestone birthday. That was double digits. That was exciting. And 13 was an exciting birthday because you were a teen and your parents rejoiced. Yay. And 18, you're an adult. You're officially an adult in almost all of the ways that count. And then there was 21, which was, I don't know, the ibuprofen birthday. I don't know what name it has for itself. It's a challenging one. But 44, that's 44. It means you're sort of but not quite in your mid-40s. If 44 was a car, 44 would be a rental Chevy Cobalt. It's just kind of there. But things do change in life. There are marks and moments of real and genuine change. Signs that let you know without a shadow of a doubt that things have changed for you. Things that tell you the life I am going to be living from here on out is different than the life I've lived before. And those moments sneak up on you. One such moment came for me years ago while watching Mystery Science Theater 3000. Now, anyone know that show? Ever watched that show? Well, because you've not had the pleasure to encounter it, let me explain this show a little bit. This is a product of the 1990s, and the core concept behind it is pretty basic. You have the show revolving around this hapless guy and the robot pals he keeps to keep himself entertained as he's stuck out on a space station as diabolical scientists subject them to repeated experiments. And what those experiments are, they are subjected to the worst movies ever made in the history of cinema. And you watch the experiment as they are forced to sit there and get their way through those terrible movies by making fun of them. It's a good show. It's an entertaining show. It's a way to recycle some of the most wretched film you could ever imagine and make it kind of fun. And it's been a favorite in my household for years. The boys really have enjoyed it. They enjoy watching this cadre of wiseacre make endless and hysterical wisecracks about whatever stupid thing it is that they are watching. This, of course, has trained my boys to make endless and hysterical wisecracks about whatever stupid thing I happen to be saying. In retrospect, it may not have been the best parenting strategy, but keeps us entertained. But this was a pre-kid thing. Rach and I would watch MST3K, which is the shorthand for people who really watch it a lot, together in our apartment, in the evening, after work, every time it came on. It was what we would do on Friday nights sometimes if we weren't going out, because this was the pre-DVR and you have to figure out your VCR era, and it was just easier to sit there with it. It was just part of our regular pattern of life together. And then, well, there came a day when we had gone to the hospital early one morning. And when we came back from the hospital, we had with us a really remarkably large baby. ensconced in the car seat right in the middle of this little Saturn wagon that we drove around. And we brought this thing home with us, this 9-pound, 15-ounce thing. And it felt sort of surreal. I mean, here we were. Things were supposed to have changed, but we were back in our little apartment. There was our sofa, just where it had been before, and the TV was where it was been before, and there was a bassinet out in the living room, and we're like, well, this is our home. It just feels sort of normal, we said on that first evening. And it did feel normal. I mean, we fed him, and we changed him, and he went right to sleep in his bassinet. And then we ate dinner, and he's still sleeping in the bassinet, and we cleaned up after dinner, and we sat down on the sofa, we turned on the TV, and what was on? Mystery Science Theater 3000. We're like, awesome. This is just like it was. Nothing has changed here, we said. And we settled back to watch the show, and it was just life as it had been. And that lasted about 5 minutes. We didn't get through all of that show. That evening, that moment, marked a change. Something where we were forced to recognize what had come before was no more. Our life had been forever changed. MST3K was that sign. My wife argues to this day that the actual process of giving birth was more significant, but you take your signs where you find them. Because signs matter. Signs are significant. And one such significant moment comes to us out of John's Gospel today. And that a sign is coming out of John's Gospel should be no surprise, because if you read John's Gospel, it is all about signs. That is the point of that Gospel. Now, the other three Gospels, Matthew and Mark and Luke, those are structured as a sacred chronology, a travelogue. Jesus teaches, and he moves through Galilee, and he moves down in this journey to Jerusalem. And that is the way they tell the story of Jesus, as this message played out across time and space and a journey. And they see it all the same way, which is why we call them the synoptics. From two words, syn and optic, syn meaning together, because it's S-Y-N, and optic, seeing. But John is different. John is completely different. John approaches the message of Jesus telling the story with a different structure and purpose. John gives us a gospel divided into two sections, one of which, the second of which, runs from chapter 13 through the end of the book. Bible scholars call this section the Book of Glory. This is the section that talks about Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection, but what's more significant is it is full of teachings, full of sayings of Jesus that describe in great and swirling and poetic detail his relationship with God and his invitation to all of us to participate in that same relationship. That section is full of poetry and mystery and prayer. That's the second section, the Book of Glory. And the first section, which runs from chapter 1 through to chapter 12, is called the Book of Signs. The Book of Signs. And that's because the whole story isn't Jesus goes here, gives a talk, Jesus goes here, gives a talk, there's a healing. It's not that same travel. What it is a sequence of seven signs. Simeon, moments in the story of Jesus that are important as part of his storytelling, but that are also being remembered because they point to something deeper and greater than themselves. Today's reading is the first of those signs, the changing of the water into the wine at Cana. And there are others. The second is the healing of a child in John 4. The third is the healing of a paralytic in John 5. And then there is the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 in John 6. And then Jesus walks on water in John 6. And then a man born without sight is given sight in John 9. And that cycle of signs ends in John 11 as Jesus goes to his friends Mary and Martha and their dead brother Lazarus and raises Lazarus from the dead. That is the last of that cycle of signs. And I hope you got all these down because next week there is a quiz. There will be. What today's story gives us on the surface of it is the story of a wedding and of a mother and of the beginning of a new phase of life for Jesus. The wedding is at Cana, and if you look at a map, Cana is just about 20 clicks to the north of Nazareth, so some distance if you're on foot. We don't ever hear whose wedding this is. That's not told to us. But what we do hear is that at some point, at some moment in the festivities, they run out of wine. And so the mother of Jesus comes to him and says simply, "There is no more wine." Now, Jesus has a response that to our ears might seem, I don't know, a little mouthy, even if you're the Messiah. Jesus says, "Woman, what concern is it to you and to me?" Right, Jesus, come on, that's your mom. Be a little more respectful. But Jesus does, in John's gospel, actually, regularly interact with women. And when he does, he says, "Woman." And it doesn't mean there's a lack of respect. And if you read other texts, "what is it to you and to me" appears to have been a saying that was common among Jews at that time. It's like, what does this matter? What does this matter to us? So maybe he's not quite as mouthy as he seemed. What she makes clear after that is she's not calling the response. She's just saying, "I know that you can do something about this. I know and want to open the way for you to restore this celebration." And then we hear a miracle. We hear a miracle story. Jesus takes what was, if you do the back of the envelope math, 120 gallons of water, and turns it into 120 gallons of exceptionally good wine. John's narrative doesn't tell us much about what happened to the party after that, and that's probably for the best. But what John does tell us is that this event was a sign. It was something that indicated the importance and direction of the message and teachings of Jesus. Because the wedding at Cana was first and foremost a sign pointing to the change involved in following the path taught and lived out by Jesus of Nazareth. It was not the fulfillment of that hour. Jesus says that himself. This is not yet the time of fulfillment. He knew that. But it was the time of beginning. And it evokes that time of fulfillment for all of us. The jars, for example, used for the purification rituals. This would have been the cleaning of hands before meals or the cleaning of hands as people come into a wedding feast. Those jars used for purification are filled with wine, wine that should remind us of communion. And certainly reminded the early church of that. They point us towards the Eucharist, towards the change and transformation that all of us are seeking in Christ. That is what a sign does. Signs point us towards a reality we have not yet encountered, a reality that hasn't occurred. Its hour is not with us, but it is coming. It's soon to be here. It's something we need to be prepared for. And all of us encounter signs in our day-to-day lives. All of us do. All of us encounter those instances where the purpose of our life is expressed in a moment so that we can recognize in that instant where we are meant to be. A sign is a moment that is filled with transforming purpose and direction. And it is easy for us to miss them. If we don't know what our purpose is, if we don't know what we are being called towards, we can blaze right on by those signs as easy as, I don't know, someone who's never been by Poolsville before can cruise right by the Catholic Church at 45 to 50 miles an hour. You miss the sign that tells you something about your future. We are called not to do that. The reason we gather, the reason we learn, the reason we study, the reason we pray is so that we will be aware of those transforming moments when they encounter us, when we look on them. We'll know what they mean, and we'll know the direction in which they are setting us. That's what signs are for. So keep your eyes open. Stay aware. And when you encounter those signs in your life, let yourself be guided. Let it be so for you and for me. Amen. There are so many moments in our lives that are rich with the Spirit, rich with the possibility of transformation, that can guide us on to something newer and more joyous. And we blaze right by them, and we miss them, and we pass on, because we're not very good at picking up on signs. God can speak to us in almost any moment, but we'll miss it. In order to catch those moments, we have to be paying attention. We have to be aware of what that purpose is we are seeking. Because if we are, those signs will come with regularity. Here is this moment when I have an opportunity to heal a relationship. Here is this moment I have to set aside a broken way of living that I've been stuck in for years. Those moments come all the time. What we're asked to do is to keep our eyes open for them, to see those miraculous transformations offered to us. And in Christ and through the power of the Spirit God gives all of us, to see that as a sign that will guide us on towards the life God wants all of us to live together. So this week and beyond, look for those signs. Pay attention, because they're everywhere. And when you see the ones you know will guide you deeper into God's grace, take the path they show you. That's what it means to be a called people, which we are. Let's go out and live that way. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us, today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.